Blog Talk Radio.
Here come the Volunteers. Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time in Tennessee.
Checkerboard Radio with Lee Crow and Andrew Durago. Checkerboardradio.com.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Checkerboard Radio at checkerboardradio.com. I'm Andrew Durago. He's Lee Crow. Fun show planned for you. You know, sometimes it gets slow during the off season, but Tennessee's had an interesting week. Picked up a 4-star quarterback commit, Jarrett Warrentana, that we talked about last week. Open practice for UT students yesterday. Coleman Thomas has his charges dismissed for theft and is reinstated back to the team and is already making an impact on that practice field. And other little recruiting news from one of Lee and my favorite recruits in the 2016 class, Mr. Parker Boudreaux. And, of course, your calls. So hit us up at 929-477-3322. If you got anything you want to ask us or talk about. I guess, obviously, the biggest thing this week was Jarrett Garantano, committing to Tennessee over Ohio State and Rutgers. There were, earlier in the day, on Wednesday, Ohio State announced the commitment of another quarterback, essentially saying that they weren't going to be getting Garantano. Lee, are you destroying your keyboard over there, man?
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
I'm about to put out the number for everybody to call the show, which is 929-477-3322. So if you want to get in, that's the number. That's what I'm about to do here, so.
Well, one of the things that, you know, like I was saying, Ohio State got the quarterback's name, committed early Wednesday morning. So it kind of, some people took that as Ohio State being childish and trying to steal some of Garantano's thunder, because Ohio State's obviously not going to take two quarterbacks in the same day. And they're already kind of, we talked about it last week, their quarterback situation is a little weird. But with Ohio State, Urban Meyer did receive several tweets from Tennessee fans, you know, making fun of him for missing out on a commit. And I predicted it, that he was eventually just going to respond either to somebody or something with just a picture of the national championship trophy.
which is what he should do, actually. So,
sure enough, an hour after Garantano committed, Urban Meyer tweeted out, "Thank you, Nike, for sending the cool new Buckeye hat." And it's a picture of three or four trophies, at least, and you can kind of see the hat hiding between them. And I know you were talking with people on Twitter about it, Lee.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, you know, Urban Meyer should be, oh, he's mad. Dude has nothing to be mad about.
Exactly. That actually, that tweet, perfectly acceptable. I think that's hilarious, to be honest with you. He's got a room full of just incredible memorabilia, three big-ass trophies in there, and just the hats kind of sprinkled amongst the trophies. So I think that's hilarious. But what Coach Zach Smith did, that's a little, you know, James Franklin-esque, if you ask me. He used to do that kind of stuff all the time. His whole staff subtweeted children after they were committed. So, but I mean, I guess it's a little different situation when you're Ohio State, and you know, that was a Vandy situation, and they can't. Who can they be subtweeting? They're garbage eternally. So,
well, you mentioned Zach Smith, Ohio State's wide receivers coach. He tweeted out, and it's been deleted since then. And this is actually 2 hours prior to the commitment. He tweeted out, "Great players thrive in competition, not amidst mediocrity. We hope you remember this." And
didn't he put some of that in all caps? Didn't he like put the mediocrity or something in cal caps or something?
Great thrive and mediocrity were in all caps. And I mean, I think people just don't look at timestamps, because I think a lot of people thought it would came out after the commitment, but it was actually 2 hours prior. And I think what happened was Garantano probably called Ohio State and said no, and that resulted in, you know, coaching as being a little salty. Like I said, he's since deleted. I'm excited about Garantano, but I don't think I'm excited to, at the point that the rest of the fan base is. I mean, you've got people already crowning him.
Yeah, let's talk about that too. Let's talk about that too, because if you know, if you're listening and you didn't see or hear about how he committed, that's kind of a big deal. I've never seen that before. I mean, there's been stuff similar with some five-star kids in the past, done something theatrical or, you know, kind of crazy for the commitment video. This guy actually had a little mini promo for himself, like a minute-long promo for himself for his commitment video. That's kind of odd, and that's a lot to live up to. So he better bring it from day one if you're going to have a commitment video like that.
Yeah, I mean, and walking around Times Square, and Bleacher Report, the official carriers of it, and I think they were the ones that, it was probably his idea, but they facilitated the video. And
right,
I'm not sure if I looked at it right, but, I mean, Tennessee didn't really have their logo and everything displayed on in Times Square.
No, it was, I think it was like a computer-generated graphic, but I have that. If you want to play it, I put it on. I uploaded it if you want to let everybody hear it. It's a minute and 1 second long if you want to let them hear it, because it's kind of – it's brand new. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, this is the actual commitment. This is the audio from the actual commitment video for Garantano this past week.
Rutgers needs you to stay home.
You'll be a star at Ohio State.
It's all about Ball Nation.
God is good, Ohio is not.
Tennessee needs your talents in Knoxville.
Stop the nonsense. Your heart is at Rutgers, and at Rutgers is where you will land. You are ours, and you know it.
No. This is my decision, nobody else's. I've worked too many early mornings, too many late nights, not to do what's best for me. No more noise. No more clutter. No more distractions. I'm ready for what the future holds. Knoxville, Tennessee, here I come.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I get it. Every recruit wants to have the biggest and best, you know, announcement. Like, oh, I'm going to try to one-up this guy who did it this way. I think my biggest issue with it is he's not, I mean, he's the, according to Rivals, he's the number four dual threat quarterback.
Right.
Number four player in his state, which is Jersey, so it's not that hard.
True.
I think Tennessee fans embraced it because he picked Tennessee.
If he had
picked Ohio State with that video, Tennessee fans would have ripped it.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, in the video, he's 17, and he's saying he's worked too many mornings and all this early mornings and all this stuff. I mean, it's like you're 17. To me, it's like it's a little bit of overkill. He sounds like LeBron in the you know, the decision special to me. I mean, that's just a little too much, really, if you ask me. That's just a hair too much. You know, pick, you know, 5-6 different hats, something like that. You know, being a little theatrical. That's about where we are right now. I don't think we need to do that for, you know, a commitment a year in advance. You know, that's just kind of, I don't know. I thought it was a little too much. He's got a lot to live up to. Hell, he's not even the number one quarterback committed in the East of the SEC right now. So that's just kind of a bold move to me. I didn't I don't understand that really. I mean, you know, Jacob Eason's the five star in the division right now committed, and he didn't do anything like that. So I don't know.
I mean, it's just, I don't have a problem with it, but it does just seem like, come on, you're pushing. And I think probably my biggest issue is how, and you pointed it out and said, you know, if everything goes according to plan for Tennessee, Garantano won't play until 2020.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, nothing goes according to plan, but you've got Dobbs this year, barring injury. Dobbs next year, barring injury. I don't think he's going to be jumping to the pros anytime soon. You look at guys that play in the pros early. You're looking at Winston's and Mariota's, guys like that. I mean, he's not of that caliber. I don't think he's going to suddenly become that caliber. He's got potential. He's got a high ceiling, but I don't think he's going to become that caliber overnight this year and go pro. So you have him next year also. And you're looking at a combination of Dormady, Jones, and Jennings as probably redshirt freshmen or true sophomores. I'm sure some combination of that for the next 2-3 years. So you're looking at like earliest case. If they want all these kids to succeed, best case scenario is Garantano gets like 2 years to play. So.
Yeah, unless he shows up and a year from now, and I think he might be an early enrollee, if he shows up and can beat out at least the guys ahead of him, he might be the number two quarterback going into next season. But, I mean, I think even if when he shows up, and let's say, like you said, you know, barring injury, Dobbs is definitely your starter next year. He's going to take a red shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be wild, but I'm glad you mentioned the other quarterbacks and possible injuries, because I saw this yesterday afternoon. The football team had a practice open to the media for portions, and then the students got to stay. And before I really get into it, you know, Rucker was tweeting out some stuff about, you know, hey, that's it for the media. Good thing the students get to stay. I'm trying to find them because I retweeted a couple of them.
Yeah, I did too. He sounded, I mean, I like Wes. He keeps it kind of real. And it's just funny to me because he sounded a hair salty there. But I know he was just like being tongue-in-cheek, and he got just blasted. His mentions are always a flame, but they were really heated up yesterday.
Well, and the thing is, it's, like, even if Wes really was frustrated,
I'm sure he was not.
Yeah, I mean, even if he was, but it makes sense. Oh, here's one of them. Media have been dismissed from ball practice, but the student body is still out there. Kids, feel free to provide updates. I mean, the thing is, and his other tweet was, UT students have access to 10 more practice periods of media today. Fortunately, none of those students have smartphones and Twitter. If he was frustrated, I get it, because as you and I know, Butch has been strict this year with the amount of practice video that comes out.
Right.
And you just gave however many students showed up the ability to tweet as much practice tape as they want.
Yeah.
Because I know you retweeted and got it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I want to give him a shout-out. I mean, I hope I'm not butchering his name, but I guess one of the students who was there is one of my followers, and I follow him. His name's Jake Arnheimer. I hope I didn't butcher your name, bro. That's just, like, you know, it's A-U-E-R-N-A-T-I-M-E-R. He had some good practice footage, and he was tweeting it to me, so I appreciate that. And a lot of it was with Jennings, because he's heard me talk about Jennings in the past. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people doing that yesterday, and they really couldn't control that. I mean, it was from a good distance, so they're not right there in the middle of it like the Ballquest boys used to be, but it was pretty good footage.
Well, and in Tennessee fashion, they sent out several pictures from practice, and one caught my eye. It was the Circle of Life drill. If you're not sure what that is, the whole thing circles up, and two players get called out, and they go just basically run straight into each other and try to take the other to the ground. Kind of like a who's D is bigger kind of deal.
It's an old football drill. Everybody does it. Everybody has a different name for it. So
it's like a one-on-one battle.
Exactly.
And but the picture was of Quentin Doherty and Juwan Jennings going against each other. And that threw me off because, one, they had their red non-contact jerseys on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's a good chance they asked if they could go against each other. Just, you know, in the spirit of, you know, they're battling for the number two job. And they wanted to do it that way. But, I mean, you've got Doherty who's already banged up. Do you really want somebody that could be your possible backup quarterback injuring his shoulder in a meaningless drill?
I think, back to the Garantano commitment, I think that you're looking at the next couple of seasons at some seriously heated quarterback battles for the number two spot. And I think, you know, Garantano thinks he's going to be starting like 3 or 4 years. So I got a feeling that this is just a precursor to what's going to be happening for years up there. They're going to have these guys going head-to-head in all kinds of ways, competing at every turn. I mean, they'll have these kids competing in the cafeteria. I mean, it's going to be – I think that's just setting the table for it. I expect to see more of that kind of stuff, especially when Jones gets there in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it's better practice. The other thing from yesterday's practice that – and it – people are going to say I'm nitpicking, and I'm really not, because it's something that I think is stupid across the board, is when in post-practice interviews, Alvin Kamara said he and Jalen Hurd have a nickname for themselves, which I
CMG.
Thought was odd. Did you see that?
Yeah, the CMG stuff, yeah.
The,
I like it.
The chain-moving gang?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I like it. I love attitude like that and a little swag. I like that. I mean, that's what you need your skill position players to have. That's what it's about. They just got to back
I
it up.
I like it. Yeah, I like it, but I wish they had, you know, just not said it and then busted it out, you know, mid-season, you know, once you've played a down in orange jersey.
Oh, yeah, save it for the season. Yeah, I got you.
Like the first, you know, game where they both have 100 yards or something like that. Because, I mean, that's one of the things that it happens like every other week. One of the local media writes a story about how Jalen Hurd and Kamara might be in the backfield at the same time. Okay, they did that with Marlon Lane and Jalen Hurd last year. It's not anything new.
Right.
But one practice thing I did want to talk about from earlier in the week, Emmanuel Mosley came back from mono, and I know, and we'll talk about it later, our depth charts that we put out. Emmanuel Mosley came back and had at least 3 interceptions in his first practice back.
Yeah.
And you can look at it, you know, glass half empty, glass half full. Half full is great. We got a corner that can get picks. Half empty is, wait a second, a corner that's been out for, 2 weeks with mono just picked off our quarterbacks 3 times?
Yeah. And that, I mean, it's practice. I mean, it's practice. And you don't have a lot of talent at receiver. So you're not going to have these receivers actually going up and fighting for the ball either. So you got to look at that. I mean, they're extremely thin at wide receiver. So I would expect the defense to be ahead right now. You got freshman quarterbacks, no depth at running back or wide receiver. I'd expect the D to be ahead. If they're not, then we got, you know, real problems coming into the summer. So, can you hear Manny? He's like, can you hear him on the radio? Can you hear that? He's killing me. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. I guess Durango's dropped off, actually. But, you know, back to the Mosley thing, I mean, I would actually expect the D to be way ahead of the offense. I mean, at this point, because there's so much red, you know, just non-contact jersey stuff out there. You're back on, by the way, Andrew. I got you back on. But I was just saying, go ahead.
Well, I did drop, and I apologize for that. So I will cut you off because we do have our special guest on. Joining us now is Montreal Alouette quarterback and former Tennessee Vol, Jonathan Crompton. Jonathan, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good, man. We appreciate you calling in. I talked with you a little bit a couple years ago. Wanted to have you on today because one of the things, you know, that's going on with Tennessee is that they have a new offensive coordinator. And that's something that you know a lot about from your days at Tennessee and in, you know, multiple stops around the NFL and in the CFL. What is it like, you know, when you have a new offensive coordinator?
Well, it's interesting to have a new offensive coordinator. You know, it takes a lot of hard work and studying to try to master their system and learn their expectations for what they want and how they want things ran. And, you know, for in the run game, see which way, you know, they want you to check, or in the pass game, see how they want you to read the concept. So, it, you know, like I said, it takes a lot of your spare time to be devoted to master their system.
And like you said, you know, it is, you know, you have to learn a lot and see how they want to do things. You obviously went through multiple offensive coordinators at Tennessee, but what is that like when you meet that offensive coordinator for the first time as a quarterback, when, you know, you're the guy and you're just trying to figure out what this guy's playbook's like and see if it adapts to you? What is that process like?
Oh, I mean, it's at the end of the day, as bad as it is, you learn that it's a business. You know, coordinators move on, head coaches move on, things like that. So, you know, you go in there and you just try to fit in and take yourself and fit yourself into their system. And that's the biggest thing. You got to stay yourself as a player and as a person. So that would be the thing that I would say is, you know, you don't have to go in there and try to do anything different, act different, or anything like that, and just try to mesh well within yourself, within the system.
Well, and last season in the Canadian Football League, you joined Montreal. The team did not have a great start, but you came in after the team was 1-7 and led them to a 9-9 record and made the playoffs. What was that experience like? Just immediately, coming in relief, but then earning the starting job and doing so well for the Alouettes.
That was fun. At the end of the day, it's still just football. You go out there, you. Like I said, as long as you're yourself and guys can tell you yourself and go out there and have fun and try to make the team better and do it that way, things work out well for you. And I've always said, the more you have fun, the better you're playing. So we, as a team last year, we made sure we put our heads down and let all the outsiders say what they wanted about us. And we had fun playing with each other and things turned around.
Hey, Jonathan, this is. I'm gonna get in right quick. This is Jonathan. This is Lee Crow. I was just gonna ask you, what's one of the main big differences and challenges of going from American football over to Canadian football? What's that like? Because to me, to some of us down here, it's still a little foreign. You know, the rules and the size of the field. And talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of big differences. I mean, it just depends on what position you play. Like for a quarterback, we only have a 20-second play clock. When the whistle blows, you know, the tempo's going. You got to make sure you're ready and make sure you've got everything. You know, you got to have your reads done a lot quicker. You know, the field's wider, so you're on the left hash. If you're going to throw a hitch route to the field, it's actually probably about a 45-yard throw rather than a 30-yard throw.
Right.
We get an extra player on the field, so typically it's an extra receiver, and you can have all six eligible receivers in motion at one time.
Yeah. Jonathan, you've gotten some attention down here in Knoxville because, you know, Tennessee has been showing what you've been doing up in Montreal on Twitter. But the one thing that people have really noticed is your new appearance. Back in your college days, you're a little more plain cut. Now you're rocking the long hair and the beard. What spurred that change?
Oh, the beard is because I look like I'm 11 if I have a clean face, so I had to have something for it. The hair is because of growing up for lots of love for cancer. I feel everybody's been affected in some way, shape, or form by cancer. And so I've been growing my hair since June of 2013 to donate.
Well, that's really great to hear.
That's awesome.
I know I've been out there a couple times, so that's really cool to hear. As I, you know, we were talking about with earlier with the offensive coordinator changing in Tennessee, and Tennessee just picked up another recruit at the quarterback position. You were involved in some, you know, quarterback battles in your days on Rocky Top. Now Tennessee has three true freshmen, another guy coming in. What is that like when you're competing for the number two job or even the number one job?
Oh, it's fun. Competition only makes you better. And if you're a player that shies away from it, then you don't belong at that level. I think Tennessee's got the right guys in place right now for competition. And, you know, you go out there, obviously your buddy's off the field, but once you step between the lines, you know, I mean, it's the old cliche, it's my livelihood versus yours. So, you know, and they understand that. There should be no animosity in the room, which is a good thing. You know, I've been a part of rooms where there has been, and it makes things difficult sometimes. But at the end of the day, you've got to go out there and do what you've got to do for yourself to make yourself the best player possible, because everybody wants to play. I mean, obviously, a quarterback, only one can play, so you want to be that one.
Well, you know, when you came into Tennessee, you redshirted your freshman year in 2005. Eric Ainge was the starting quarterback, and I actually used to work with Eric. But sometimes with those quarterback battles, you know, people always wonder what the relationship is like between the QBs. What was your relationship like with Ainge?
Oh, I mean, everybody's got their own different relationship, but we had a well working relationship within the facility, and it was fine. There's no animosity in our room. I've been a part of some in the past that have had some, but, you know. So we went out there and we made sure we tried to make each other better, because no matter who was on the field, whoever was the better one playing was going to make our team better.
And along those lines, we talked about just a little bit earlier before you came on, Butch Jones had a couple of the freshman quarterbacks in the circle of life drill. It was kind of like an Oklahoma-type drill. How many times as a quarterback have you been involved in something like an Oklahoma drill? It seems rare to outsiders like us on that.
I haven't done it since high school, but I've played both ways in high school, so I had to be a part of the old-school Oklahoma drills. But I enjoyed them. Those were fun, especially when I was playing defense, I was playing safety, flying around, having a little fun. But, yeah, that was the last time I've been a part of those.
Jonathan, when we'll let you get out of here in just a moment. You know, like I said, you went through multiple offensive coordinators, but you also had two different head coaches. You had Coach Fulmer for the majority of your career, and then your senior year you had Lane Kiffin. Obviously, those are two very different guys. What are some of the changes and differences you noticed between those two coaching staffs?
Oh, Kiffin was the old cliche players coach. He made it up-tempo, you know, music was a practice, and the fun part about that was whoever won the team drill the day before got to pick the practice or the music for the next practice. So there was always a competition every day, no matter what. We always had a blitz period where nothing was scripted, so we were calling plays, and the defense was throwing whatever they wanted at us. So, you know, I think that made us a lot better as an offense from the O-line and quarterback standpoint, because we had to make sure we were on point with our protection. The one thing I give Lane credit for is he took the fall no matter what in the media, and then behind closed doors, you know, we corrected things in house, and that makes the players want to play a lot harder and bust their tail a lot more for a coach. I that was probably my most fun year for me as a quarterback was that year.
Well, Jonathan, we know we really appreciate you joining the show today. And just as we let you go, tell us again about what you're doing with Locks for Love and your hair just the past year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a process of growing it. I'm still not used to it, I'll say that, trying to shampoo and condition it all the time and all that. So it's interesting. But I still haven't decided when I'm going to cut it, but I'm debating on doing it during October when it's the pink week for football. Debating it, trying to get a little deal doing it, you know, maybe the night before one of our games, because obviously with it being that month and the meaning why I'm cutting it. So, you know, as much as everybody can get it out there on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, I would love for people to try to get it out there. And obviously I'll retweet it and like to have conversations with people over social media about it.
Well, that's cool, man. We appreciate you. And the one last thing, I tried starting it when I was a student at UT. I think I'm a year older than you, but I might try to move to Montreal and see if I can start it up there. But the straight out of Crompton nickname, Is there a reason that hasn't caught on? Is there a reason that hasn't caught on?
I have no clue, but I'll get it randomly. You know what? I kind of like it, so it's a good point. You know what? Yeah. Let me get started. I'm on board with it. I would like it. It's a cool thing. I mean, you know, I actually have a last name that can fit well with a nickname.
Well, that's great, man. You know, thanks again for joining us. And best of luck to you and your Montreal teammates in this upcoming season.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Have a great day.
I see ya.
That was VFL and starting quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes in the Canadian Football League, Jonathan, straight out of Crompton. I really wanted that nickname. Man, I'm not kidding. When I was a drunk college kid, I really wanted that nickname to catch on.
That'd be a hell of a fantasy football roster name, too. I like that. I'm gonna try that probably next year.
I should have asked him, because, you know, he was on the Patriots for a while, what it was like working with them. But my Patriots talk.
No. I'd rather talk about the Chargers. He was on there for a while, too, so the practice squad. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and Jonathan's a great guy, and that's really cool that you know, because people do kind of like laugh and like, wow, I mean, he does look a little bit like Jesus with the beard and the hair.
He does now, but when he had that, I told you last night, when he had that real, you know, shortcut in the kind of scruffy beard kind of deal, he kind of looked like Ainge from a distance. You know, Ainge is a little taller, but they're about the same stature from a distance, you know, so.
But yeah, that's really cool to hear from him. He didn't really elaborate on it, but I know there's been a story last year. One of the reasons he is involved with Locks of Love is his former fiance had ovarian cancer and died during last year.
Oh, man.
So
that's terrible.
That's something that's really cool for him to be able to give back and help people that have been burdened by cancer. But so it is good to see him doing great things on and off the field up in Montreal. You know, I think he's a great representative of, you know, Tennessee football players.
I agree. I want to say we mentioned that circle of life drill to him. I've never seen quarterbacks like you said involved in that before, and I think that's a thing that kind of, he said he hadn't done it since he played a little defense in high school. So that is rare. And also to keep it a little bit lighter, since we just veered off into something pretty depressing, but I'm going to start playing it. Since it's spring and there's not a lot going on until the fall after Orange and White Week, and when we talk about this Circle of Life drill, I'm going to play this. So I'm going to play that. I'm going to play that every time we talk about the Circle of Life in the summer and the rest of the spring. So.
I'm all for it. Well, and this next topic is something I know you and I are probably going to have some fun with, and it's open to debate. If you're listening live right now, give us a call, 929-477-3322, if you want to join in. It's Coleman Thomas's arrest, dismissal of those charges, and now the warrant for former Vol Michael Sawyers.
I'm sorry to laugh, but the whole thing kills me. We knew this was going to happen. So
now my thing with it is, I'm gonna review everything that has happened. An Xbox and some games were stolen from dorm room, and then subsequently sold by Coleman Thomas at a GameStop, not a pawn shop like Jimmy Hines keeps saying.
Come on, man. Himes is 300 years old. He doesn't understand what a GameStop is and trading in games. He would have no idea what that is.
So. Well, so I tweeted out there, I was like, man, if GameStop's a pawn shop, I've been pawning stuff since I was 12. Like, I used to trade all my games in there. Like, dude, I traded in, like, 20 games and a PS1 when the PS2 came out to try to save money on it.
And
this
and
is
got
back when GameStop
like a,
actually
like
gave.
And got like a $13 store credit for that, didn't you? It's always ridiculous what they give you for the trade-ins.
No, dude, GameStop back in the day, they used to give you some decent money. But my thing is, okay, I'm assuming in both places, the dorm room and GameStop, there are video cameras.
Right.
And And I knew Coleman Thomas was not going to get in any trouble the minute I saw that Don Bosch was his attorney. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that name. He's one of the best defense attorneys in this area. He's one of the best defense attorneys in this area. And anytime in the Fulmer era, anytime a player got in trouble, Don Bosch was somehow representing them.
Nice.
But so my thing is, and, you know, the warrant was issued, it sounded like, for Michael Sawyers, like 2 days ago. So, and UT police said that there was a rush to judgment, and that's why the charges were dropped. I'm sorry, if there's video footage in that GameStop of Coleman Thomas selling this stuff, how does the I didn't know it was stolen card work?
And we've talked about that before, too. Have you ever sold something that wasn't yours? I mean, and did I mean that just doesn't even make any sense to me. Have you ever sold something that you know you didn't pay for, nobody gave you legitimately? I've never done that before. So at the very least, obviously he may not be guilty of the robbery part of it, or the burglary part of it, or the theft part of it, but at the very least, he's fencing stolen goods. So that's a charge, isn't it? I mean, that should be a charge.
And I mean, I'm not saying I want Coleman Thomas arrested for it, but the only thing I can think of is that when he got interviewed by a detective or police officer, he just snitched on Michael Sawyers. Am I wrong?
No, that's obviously what I didn't do it. Michael Sawyers gave me this. You know, I guarantee you, it came out of his mouth like immediately. Probably while they were slapping, if they put handcuffs on him, it's probably happened while they were putting the handcuffs on him. I didn't do it.
But, I mean, is that the thing? I mean, I just don't understand how, like, the judge or the arresting officers, like Coleman Thomas just said, I didn't know, and got away with it. How is saying I didn't know a new alibi?
It's not in my book. It's not. But, I mean, with him being back, you know, that could lead back into our depth chart discussion, because obviously the depth chart for me will change. We just made those depth charts last week. Under the assumption of the current rosters and current, you know, personnel. So obviously, since he's back, I would probably just adjust that just a tad in the center's position. So,
yeah, and you know, you can check out my depth chart at checkerboardradio.com. We are kind of in agreement on the majority of things. The first noticeable difference is, you and I have Hurd and Kamara, the amount of carries each gets split. I have, you have it 70-30 in favor of Kamara. I've got it 60-40. Obviously, and this is going to be the debate for fans and media and probably even the coaches leading up to the season, is the left tackle. You have true freshman Drew Richmond as the left tackle. I've got Kurbison. And then number two,
I'm crowning him right now.
I noted that by the end of the season, Drew Richmond is the starter. I don't think he shows up on campus and takes the left tackle spot.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just, if you look at his footwork and, I mean, his physicality, Kurbison will never have any of that. You know what I mean? I just don't see why. I mean, there can't be that much for him to learn. I know he played right in high school, but that was because he had a left-handed quarterback. So I think it'll be pretty natural and seamless for him. I think he'll just jump right in there, man. But we'll see. I mean, I think the kid's got a high football IQ, really. So I think if anybody can do it, you know, he'll be the type to do it. So.
And then, you know, we'll change it with Coleman Thomas back, but you and I are in agreement for the bulk of the line at both guard positions and center. Right tackle is where we debate again.
I had Crowder, Weissman, and then I had Roberson in there because every time I watch a practice video from the folks over at Rocky Top Insider, Roberson's taking some snaps so at center. So I would, if anything, I would just throw Thomas in there at one and slide everyone down one in there. Crowder, Weissman, and Roberson all slide down. So other than that, I mean. Yeah.
Well, and then with right tackles, where you and I differ some more, we both have Brett Kendrick as your right tackle. The number two, you have Jack Jones and maybe getting a red shirt. I've got Dontavis Blair.
Yeah. Blair had a good week of practice, so people are starting to chatter about him. So I can see that happening. It's starting to, I think the light may be starting to come on. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, like a backup at left or push for the starting right tackle job. So
Defensive tackle, obviously there's two spots. We both on for each position. We both agreed on Tuttle for the other one. Owen Williams and Khalil McKenzie. The only really big difference is you have Quay Piku as a third option. I think he just flat out redshirts. I don't think with how much talent there is between Danny O'Brien, Shy Tuttle, Owen Williams, Khalil McKenzie, Demaria Mixon's been playing really well in practice. I don't think Quay Piku plays at all this season.
I'd mix them all in, man. I mean, I don't know how much Salisbury will be able to play. I don't know how much Mosley will be able to give you. I mean, with his conditioning and his coming off the injury. And, you know, there's a lot of freshmen in the mix, so I'd get them all a little wet. I'd throw them all in there, man. I mean, this is the SEC. You got to have your big nasties fresh, in my opinion. I'd throw all those guys in there.
Then on the defensive end, the strong side, you've got Kyle Phillips as a starter with Chris Weathered in nickel situations. I've got just Kyle Phillips straight up, backed up by Corey Vereen and Jakob Johnson. I think this sounds maybe rushed. I think we've seen the last of Jakob Johnson. I think he's going to end up getting lost. I think he's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he could. I mean, he's got adequate speed for defensive end. He's obviously not going to be a linebacker anytime soon. You can't. I mean, I don't think he can improve his speed that much. I mean, I don't know if he's just kind of concrete footed or he's just the game was overwhelming and it hadn't slowed down for him at middle last year. But he looked really bad when he played. You know, hopefully the light will turn on and he can do something. And I think if he does do something, it'll be the end.
Middle linebacker. We both have Dylan Bates starting. Darren Kirkland backing him up. I've got him as a redshirt. I think if Bates just balls out the season as the starter, they say, hey, let's throw this red shirt on Kirkland, let him get 100% and learn from, you know, that injury he suffered in the preseason with the pec. Then the only really big difference we have is at the safety position. You've got Ladarrelle McNeil as a starter. I've got Todd Kelly Jr. I think McNeil will start the season, but eventually – Todd Kelly takes over.
Well, I thought that last year, and I've been really impressed by McNeil. I mean, if you can't say anything else about that kid, he's probably the hardest hitter per pound, you know what I mean, on that defense. That guy can lay the wood to you. I mean, pause, but he can really bring it. I mean, the guy can flat out hit. So I like McNeil. I'm not going to count him out. I think we'll see Kelly full-time starter next year, and he'll have two years to ball out. But I think McNeil will do pretty well his senior season. We'll see. He improved leaps and bounds over the last couple of years, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one, long snapper. We both got GM Papa, loving good, taking a red shirt. When I did text you about this, why you didn't have a long snapper on your depth chart, you responded, F a long snapper, G and Papa for life. I do see we've got a caller on, 270.
That's a Big Orange Mac.
This is who I think. Big Orange Mac, just to give you a heads up before we let you on, man, we are going through some possible new exciting changes, and some of those changes include language, so we got to trim out some of it.
Oh, y'all give me that warning. Oh, I appreciate that. You know, I'm the dirty mouth one. Okay, all right. You know me, I'm not a filter. You know, I'm like the 1965 Chesterfield. I ain't got no filter. So. I appreciate the warning. the first when I jumped on early this morning, I was stuffing my face at the Shoney's. And I ain't lying, y'all. I scarfed it down in 15 minutes just to listen to the show. I put on the clink and left 15 minutes. the first topic I was talking about, the kid up in New Jersey, you know, I don't like it much either. I guess I'm getting old and don't care all much for that. But that's the way these kids are now. They love them some them. You ought to know that.
Yeah.
You you're a self lover. They love them from them, and they love themselves, and it's all about them, and they want to put on a big show, and that's how it is nowadays.
But you have to admit, I mean, you've never seen anything like that. I know you haven't, because I mean, there hadn't been anything like that done yet. I mean, that's just
I hadn't either, but. I expect to see like a rapper
in the next commitment video from somebody like, you know, like
coming.
A hype man or something.
It's coming. Circle of Life drill, or what I still call it, the old Oklahoma drill. I love it. I'm watching those videos. It got me hyped up. Like, there you go. I loved it, man. Had me hyped.
Yeah.
Stay low, keep
those feet moving. I love it. Don Tavis Blair, I can't remember who it was. I guess it was LaTroy Lewis. Was that who he had on skates? He looked pretty, I mean, that could have been just some, you know, hit a bad patch of grass from LaTroy, but he had LaTroy on skates and a couple skate. It was pretty bad. I mean, so maybe the light's coming on.
I think the video I seen on Instagram and I tweeted it out. I think it was what? Yeah, I'm on it. Yeah, I think it was one of the Berries, number 29. Is he number 29?
Evan.
Son, he got low, and dude, the boys up against can do nothing. He kept them feet churning, and put him on his back. Son, I'm telling you guys, I sense something. It's something different. You know, of all the years I've been watching Tennessee football, it's got a different feel, way they do things. You know, I don't know. I never would dream of Johnny doing anything like this, what they're doing. I wouldn't, Coach Former, I could see Kippen doing some stuff like this, but it's just, the atmosphere is just different, and I'm liking it. I'm kind of old.
Well,
They had a
Tennessee drill like that back in the Majors Day. They just didn't have, you know, a bunch of cameras around, and there wasn't as much hype around it. You know, that drill is always going to be around, but the way they're hyping it now, it's like it's a big deal.
And it, you know, he's inviting media people coming. Well, they don't get to stay long. You know, the students get to hang out. He's had police officers coming hanging out. I mean, back in the day, you just won't see it. You know. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different, and I'm getting used to it. I like it. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm an old fogey. I like, you know, the old coaches sitting up there chewing on everybody and, you know, kind of old school ways like it. But, man, it's exciting. It's got me excited for the season. And I want to ask y'all something. When did this thing about Michael Sawyers come out? That's the first I've heard of.
Well, I can't speak to the fact of it, but I've always been told that. That's part of the reason that he was, I mean, just disappeared in January. That's part of the reason he's off the team. So, I mean, it's some other incidents too, but that was one of them from what I've heard. So,
wow. Amazing.
There's another one involved too. Andrew may know more about that, but I don't really have any info on that. I'm not sure who the other person involved might be, but. Supposedly there was another person involved.
Somebody was saying that there is possibly a second former ball involved. I don't know. I think it's all just going to end up being on Michael Sawyers. Like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, with those dorm rooms now, they have to have cameras in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So all they need to do is pull the footage and say, okay, who's walking into this room at this time? To figure out who it is.
Right. I said before around the Cam Clear incident years ago that, I mean, these kids are just too big to be stealing. You're 6'6", 6'7", 290, 300 pounds. You're too large to be stealing anything. Somebody's going to see you. Don't do that. Stop that.
It's like the big elephant in the room. Ain't nobody going to miss you.
Stop doing that. There is breaking news out of Gainesville. Redshirt freshman corner J.C. Jackson turned himself in after he entered in a friend's apartment and was followed in by two suspects who robbed the house of money, weed, and an Xbox at gunpoint.
Kids being held on a $150,000 bond. This is not a minor charge. This is a big deal. And, you know, you just got to scratch your head at these kids. I mean, you really do. I mean, they got the world ahead of them. And, yeah, just all kinds of opportunity, and they're just blowing it.
This guy has got some just a bad past in the past year. He was one of several college football players that were shot on Christmas Eve in his hometown in Florida with minor injuries. He was also the passenger in the car driven by quarterback Treon Harris that had weed in it. And in other weird arrest news, you might not know this name, but you'll be able to piece it together. Soso Jimabo, he is the number two running back in the 2015 class, committed to UCLA. He was the guy that he said he was making his college choice between the University of Phoenix and ITT Tech. He was arrested. He was arrested early this morning. Now get this. This is a guy that's probably either still in high school unless he graduated early. Well, he'll be in college now. He's facing six charges, including evading arrest with a vehicle, minor consumption of alcohol, minor possession of alcohol, speeding, driving without a license, and disregarding a stop sign.
The University of Phoenix and ITT stuff, is that for real? Did you just make that up, or is that real?
No.
That's real.
During his approval, he either put out a video or a tweet, and he was like, I'll be deciding between, I mean, he's the number two running back in the country, and he's like, I'm deciding between the University of Phoenix and ITT Tech.
We can use that and segue into the biggest attention hog in this year's class, really, Parker Boudreau, Ivan Drago-looking kid. I mean, just every school he goes to, he just tweets at the fan base to get follows and likes. And he finally announced his top 10 list, and much to the Vols that were fawning all over him, you know, their dismay. Tennessee did not make the top 10, but Georgia Southern did. So it's the strangest kid I've ever seen in the recruiting process.
I just don't get it. Cause, I mean, the kid has tweeted, you know, or he's changed his bio, but his bio said, you know, he had the most college offers of any player in the country. I think at one point he called himself the top player in the country, and he's not even, like, top 15 at his position. But he did – I just don't get it. Like, why – he's from Orlando, Florida. The kid loves himself some Parker. I think my issue with – I mean, he's worse than Torrance Gibson to me. But
– yeah, and without the talent.
Yeah, he put it
without the talent.
He puts out his top 10, like every kid does, and you know, thanks for the scholarship offers, and they're not in any order. But he does have listed very first Georgia Southern, then Clemson, Penn State, Notre Dame, Auburn, Oklahoma, Bama, Ole Miss, Florida, Iowa. What?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Like,
just bizarre. Just bizarre.
Kid, if he's as good as he claims to be and lives up – I mean, he's a four-star. He's the number 22 offensive tackle in the 2016 class, according to Rivals. But there's no way he's strongly considering Georgia Southern if he does have committable offers.
He tweets at them a lot, and I think he may have some sort of family tie there. I mean, I haven't really researched – I mean, I'm not going to research enough on this kid to find out, but – because I just don't care. I mean, he's a pretty good lineman, but I mean, just the stuff that he does makes me not even want him to commit to Tennessee. It's just too much. I mean, everywhere he goes, it's just too much. Well, and now he's in the top 10 with Georgia Southern in it.
And somebody did make a list or tweet with or account of him going to Tennessee, but I don't think it's going to do that.
Yeah. this kid is something else. I just any kind of little he's got. I mean, there's pictures of him on a Wheaties box for Iowa on his page. Just it's just too much, man. I just and to see that top 10 list is just hilarious to me. But did we lose Andrew again? We may have.
Sorry, my dog's having issues. I'm just checking on her. I think she's okay.
She all right? She's choking or something?
My fiance thought she was choking, but then, like, she's the type of dog that when we start looking at her, she gets scared and thinks she's in trouble, but she's kind of just chilling here on the ground. I'll keep everybody up.
I wish my dog was like it.
Yeah,
what kind of dog do you have, Mac? What kind of dog do you have, Mac?
I have a German short-haired pointer.
Okay.
It's a bird dog.
That's perfect for you. Perfect for you.
That sucker's wild, man.
Yeah,
I've seen.
Right,
I keep up with Andrew's dog via Vine. So
yeah, we have fun. But yeah, she's being kind of weird, so I am going to wrap us up a couple minutes earlier than you. Again, big thank you to Jonathan Crompton for joining the show today. Mac, thank you as always for calling in and keeping the language clean for us.
It sounds so bad.
Do what?
It sounds so bad. It's kind of like a cousin that comes to family reunion. Hey, you need...
That's the
don't give him any alcohol.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for everybody tuning in. Podcast will be up later this afternoon. This is Checkerboard Radio and CheckerboardRadio.com. Hopefully, we'll have some big news for you in the next couple of weeks. I'm Andrew Durego. He's Lee Crow. Everybody, have a great Sunday.
3, 2, 1.
CheckerboardRadio.com.
Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.